testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, titled, The Righteousness Which Is of God. This is part 2 of 2.
By the way, contrary to the hypers, when I talk about hypers, we're dispensational here. We believe that there are different economies between God and man. And Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were told, don't eat of that tree. How many of you have been told not to eat of a tree? See? So they were in a different dispensation. Noah was told, build an ark and you'll live. Anyone who doesn't get on the ark dies and goes to hell. Is that the message you preach today? Contrary to what Ken Ham's done down there in Kentucky, we're not told to build an ark. Amen? And so forth and so on. You're in a dispensation now where you are told how that Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried and that He rose again according to the Scripture. And if you will repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that gospel, that moment you're saved. That's not what was preached before Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and that's not going to be the message preached in the millennium. Different dispensations. So, we believe in that. There's these hypers who cut that even down to the point where they even say that only Paul preached the truth, and even some of Paul's letters aren't for us. I don't know if you know that's real, but that's real. And if you watch enough YouTube videos, you'll get suckered into that stuff because they're out there like, just roaches. But contrary to what they teach and claim, they claim that Peter did not preach the gospel of grace and did not teach this doctrine of imputed righteousness. That's a lie. They rest Peter's words in other places and ignore his words in places like 2 Peter 1:1. He begins his second epistle by saying, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That is Pauline doctrine. It's exactly what Paul preached. That's what we preach. So I just have to explain that to you in case you get suckered into that, because we need to be careful again with the context and note the type of righteousness also being discussed. There are two types of righteousness, basically. We come down to that which is imputed for salvation that we've been talking about. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. The only righteousness man can hope to ever gain is that which is imputed. In verse 16, we're told that the context is about Abraham. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Then in context, we continue reading verse 20. He says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, he wasn't believing the gospel of the grace of God. He wasn't believing how that Christ died for our sins. He hadn't died yet. He wasn't believing that he rose again because he hasn't rose again yet in Abraham's lifetime. But he believed God. And verse 21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Amen. You see that? Imputed. Verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. The moment you are saved, the righteousness that you cannot obtain, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to you. And that's something that you'll never lose. No one can ever take away. And that's why we call it eternal security. This is what takes place when you're saved. Look up here at the screen. This is what takes place. Right there. Jesus is on the cross. You're not. Christ's righteousness goes on your account. You are credited with His righteousness by faith. And your sin was the exchange. Who got the better end of that deal? Your sin was nailed to that cross. And when you believe, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to you and on your account. Folks, that is profound. That is something that should just make you quake, the reality of it. Some of us can remember when we first let that truth sink in. I'm not an emotional guy. You watch our teaching. I don't get up here and weep and cry, except for when we take up the offering. But I want to tell you, when this thing dawned on me, and it just felt like such a release. It was after I was saved, by the way. You can be saved and be ignorant. But it was after I was saved and it dawned on me. This truth became a part of me. I realized it's not about me. Because I'd been under the thumb of, you're saved, now you got to prove it. And if you don't, you probably weren't saved in the first place. Well, there's some truth to that. We're told to check ourselves, but not by our works. It's check ourselves whether we be in the faith. Amen. Then, if it's real, we should let that work out in our lives. Amen. But once you realize you're not doing your works to prove yourself, you're doing the works of God because He is now in you and working through you. Amen. It's like night and day. It's such a difference. There are Christians, I believe they're saved, but they don't have this revelation, so their works are not done with the right motive and really the right power source. And it'll kill you. How many of you know Christians who really just churned it out, and then just got chewed up and spit out, and now they're not serving the Lord? Most of those people, some of them might have got hurt because they had a wrong-headed view of Christians. They think that Christians aren't supposed to be jerks. How many of you know that Christians can be jerks? So if a Christian's a jerk, don't blame it on Jesus. Amen? And you don't quit on Jesus because of some jerk, even if they call themselves a Christian. But then some people, they quit because they basically got burned out. And folks, if you try to establish your own works and your own power for the wrong reason, you'll burn out. And you'll feel chewed up and spit out. Imputed righteousness is internal, but it should result in external demonstration. The thing is for you not to question your salvation. The thing is for you to realize that you are a problem and that you need to get out of the way and let God work in your life. Stop ruling your own life with your own opinions and your own desires and let God's Word rule your life. It's real simple, you know, it really is. I'm not saying it's easy because I'm human and I have trouble too, just like you. But it really is simple. You just do what God says. The problem is we get in the way. That's the problem. But knowing what to do is real simple. You just do what God says. So the other type of righteousness is the work of sanctification. There is the thing called righteous works. There are works of righteousness, but it's not by works of righteousness which we've done that saves us. But because we're saved, there should be works of righteousness. But again, those works of righteousness, it's not just what you do, but how you do it and why you do it. You should have the right motive and the right power source in doing it. You do it by the power of His Word and His Spirit. And you do it for His glory. You've seen people probably who have really worked and worked and they didn't get any recognition, so they quit. What a shame, because they were getting recognition.
Amen.
God takes notes. And if you will just keep at it and stop worrying about the fact you don't have your name on a pew or something, and just keep serving the Lord out of love for the Lord and for others, keep on that narrow path because you're saved, not to be saved.
Amen.
And when you get to heaven, you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. We're told by Paul, he's talking to Timothy, and it's for our benefit, he wrote, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness." See, now here's the practical form of it. Faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now listen, that doesn't mean I'm so pure. Pure as the driven snow. No, it's pure because of the righteousness of Christ. And because you've allowed that to basically overcome you and control you, then out of that pure heart, you can do the works of God. You can do righteous works. But not to be saved. Because you are saved. So then you have to ask, I have to bring this up because I know some of you are going to ask this question. What about professing Christians caught up in unrighteousness? Number one, they could be saved but failing to follow God's Word. I'd say probably the mass majority of Christians fall into that. Saved but failing to follow God's Word. But there is the possibility they were never saved and they're just showing their true color. And that's something, though, that is for that person to decide. Let me tell you something. You don't know whether they're saved or not.
Amen.
And I don't care who it is. I don't care what human being you know who is a professing Christian. They may be living wonderful lives or terrible lives. Professing Christ, the only people who know if they're saved are God and themselves. So when you see a Christian, you don't think they're living the way they ought to. Number one thing to do is to pray for them. Amen?
Amen?
And if it's something that is out in the open, you can see it, you there's no question about it, you lovingly then confront them. And if they act like, well, you, who are you? Say, listen, I just love you. I'm just trying to tell you, man, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. Not judgmental, but out of love. And then the Bible says, if they won't listen to you, you come to the pastor and we'll go talk to them together.
Yeah.
See? There's a biblical basis for this and biblical guidance for this. But the saved ought to live a life of righteousness, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. We read this back in chapter 1 in our studies. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But salvation is by faith in the gospel, not by works. And we have to quote this because this fits into the context. You know it by heart, some of you. Read it with me or say it by heart. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The next verse goes on to say, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." But don't get that cart before the horse, because you'll just wreck. By grace through faith. The saving righteousness of God is always imputed as a result of God's grace in response to the faith of the sinner. And I hope you're getting that this morning. And we already mentioned this, that each dispensation differed in the object and confirmation of faith. And just for just a couple of minutes, I want to run to Hebrews 11. I want to show you this. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is referred to as the Hall of Faith.
Yep.
I'll start as you're turning there, because faith is defined in verse 1 as it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So it's not a blind leap in the dark. We have evidence for what we believe. There's reason for what we believe. Verse 2 says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." And then verse 3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." In other words, if you reject creation, then you're hopeless.
Amen.
Jesus is the creator.
Amen.
And we'll talk more about that in other studies. But look what it says in verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." You see that? God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. What's that mean? That means that it wasn't the gospel of grace in that dispensation coming out of the garden, but believing God, Abel demonstrated that when he shed the blood of an animal.
Yeah.
Cain brought a salad. What was wrong with Cain's sacrifice? It wasn't the fact that it was a salad. It was because he wasn't offering an offering of faith. Because God's word, it says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Amen. You know why Abel offered an animal sacrifice? He believed the word of God.
Amen.
See that? Abel was basically rejecting the word of God. We preach that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I'm sorry. Cain was rejecting the word of God. Yeah. But we preach that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And how many of you have talked to people who say that, "Well, I don't believe he's the only way. I think you can be sincere." And you might not be of the same religion, but you can be sincere.
Be a good person.
Be a good person. Yeah. That totally refutes everything I've preached this morning, which is the Word of God. That's someone who thinks that their own righteousness can save them. So if you face off with somebody who says, "I am a Christian, but I believe that you can be saved by other ways than through Jesus Christ," that's the spirit of Cain. And it goes against what you're reading here, that you're saved by faith in God's word. And the word of God is Jesus saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And on, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but if you're not familiar with this, take time to read Hebrews 11. Because over and over it'll tell you, by faith, Enoch, verse 5. Then it says in verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Verse 7, "By faith, Noah." Verse 8, "By faith, Abraham."
Yep.
And so forth. All the way through the chapter. In this dispensation, righteousness is imputed by faith in the gospel.
Amen.
Don't try to get to God any other way. There is no other way. Over in Romans 1, you can turn there if you like. I'm just going to quote it real quick. In Romans chapter 1, very familiar passage that I recommend you memorize. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And in verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith."
Amen.
The righteousness of God isn't something you acquire, it's something you receive. And when we sin, we lose reward. And that's much more serious than most Christians give it. But we remain righteous in God's sight. Here's a picture that I like. Put it this way, in your practical life, if you sin, there'll be consequences. There are divorces There are men in prison.
Yeah.
There are dead people who suffer the bad decisions or bad works of professing Christians. There are Christians, and they were saved, and they drank, and they got behind the wheel of a car, and they wrecked, and they killed somebody, and they went to prison. Did they lose their salvation? No. Boy, did they lose. Their life is gone. They killed somebody. They'll never get that off their conscience. Reward. All kinds of things they lost. But when that person, whoever it is, and the world doesn't like this. The world is wicked and they don't like forgiveness. They only talk in forgiveness in, you know, just lustful almost terms. It's not really something of substance. But you take somebody who really commits a terrible crime. What they want to do, it's weird. The world doesn't want them to suffer prison. But then if you talk about the fact they can be forgiven and go to heaven, they get mad. You get angry. You notice that?
Yeah.
It's twisted. As a Christian, we say, yes, you should pay the price. You should go to prison. But you can still be saved.
Amen.
And if that person, whether they were a Christian or not, when they committed that act, when they are saved, they look at God, and what does He see when He looks down at them and they're praying, Father, forgive me. He sees the cross. You today may have sinned and you've allowed that sin to thwart your life for Christ. Maybe your sin has just been putting God off for a long time, whatever it is. You need to understand that today is the day you are now responsible for. You can't do anything about the past. It's gone. But today you can renew your relationship with the Lord. If you're saved,
amen,
renew your relationship with the Lord. If you're unsaved, you can be saved today. And from this point on, you are righteous in God's eyes because of the righteousness of His Son. And when you pray, yes, you should feel inadequate. You're a sinner. You're wicked. I'm a sinner. I'm wicked. I offer nothing to God. But in salvation, I receive the imputed righteousness of Christ. And now, with His help and by His Spirit in obedience to His Word, I can now do things that will be pleasing to Him. It can all start today. Every day of your life is a new opportunity to get this right.
Amen.
And I want to encourage you, if that's what your life has been like and that's where you stand today, just stop it. Just stop it. And make today the first day of the rest of your life serving the Lord correctly.
Amen.
Biblically. In a way that pleases God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for our time in Your Word. We thank You so much for this truth. And without it, we would be without hope. There'd be nothing to live for. But because of what Jesus has done, and because our God is a loving God who will forgive and imputes the righteousness of His Son to our account, gives us eternal life, we have hope, we have purpose. Life can now be meaningful. We can live with purpose. We also live knowing that at any moment, whether it's the rapture or death, at any moment we're ready and can face Jesus Christ in heaven, saved. What an unbelievable thing for the human mind to fathom the love of God. We just thank You so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am without one need, but that Thy blood was shed.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful word of life and this wonderful gathering this morning, just a taste of what's coming in our gathering in the sky. We just thank you for the fellowship that we share, and we ask you bless our time this afternoon. Bless the food as we eat. Safety and travel to those who heading home. And Lord, may this week be a week of change in our lives where needed. Preaching the gospel where possible. Serving you with a heart of love for you and for the lost and for others. All for your glory and praise we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This world is not my home.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.